What's going on, everybody? It is Thursday night, and you are tuned in to the Stoned On Sports podcast, and quite frankly, we are very happy you did. Tonight, we're going to be wrapping up our starting pitcher preview. We've got part two, and we've got 10 dudes who we're going to talk about, and quite frankly, we might be just a little bit high on this year. As always, got Kyle here with me this week.
What's up, folks?
Yeah, what's going on? Do want to say thank you to all of our subscribers, everybody that comes and hangs out with us. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please think about doing it. It doesn't cost you anything, and it would mean the world to us. We are also going to be firing up our fantasy baseball listener league. That is right. We finally got it up and taken care of. And here on the screen, you can see this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a head-to-head points league on Yahoo. You can see the roster breakdown right there. We're going to have the draft Sunday, March 24th at 2:30. Quite frankly, this time of year, I can't think of anything better than sitting there watching some March Madness and drafting my fantasy baseball team.
Well, I'm dropping the link to join, ladies and gentlemen, in the chat. Please do. It's a 12-team league. Hopefully we can get it filled and have a pretty cool little fantasy podcast league, just an extra league to do this year. Fun. We'll have some type of swag or a gift card or something for the winner or something. So you'll win something. Ain't going to cost you nothing.
No, absolutely. And most likely we're going to end up giving it to the second place finisher because I'm going to win that shit.
We got Dubo in the chat. Thanks for your support, man. Sup boys, Slingers part do. You remember that movie? What was that?
Robin Hood, Men in Tights? Hot Shots.
Yeah, Hot Shots Part Two with Sheen and somebody else. I don't remember who, but yeah. Join the league. It'd be great. We'll be in it. It'll be fun.
All right. We are going to bring up. Yeah, absolutely. Bring our rankings back up again. Our boy Tarek Skubal there. We got to get him in the picture. We got our top 75 here, and some of these scrubs down towards the bottom. I have nothing to say about Nestor Cortez or Mason Miller or anything like that.
No, yeah. Nope. I think the top pitcher we're doing, or the lower ADP drafted, is Eduardo Rodriguez is there. Bottom one today. So
yeah, absolutely. And we are going to be publishing our overall top 150 players as well, so look for that here on the website over the next couple days.
StonedOnSportsPodcast.com with subpages.
With subpages, that's right. We're learning, folks.
Yeah. All right, a lot better than it used to.
You ready to jump into this?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go, and we're headed to the Pacific Northwest in Seattle with George Kirby with the Mariners, ADP of 39, going for about $29 on average, and I think he's worth that and maybe slightly a little more. Had one of the most impressive seasons in respect to control. He has lots of stats to love, lots, but the one that jumps off the page is 19 damn walks in 190 innings. That's insane. That's some video game stuff right there. He posted a 9.05% strike to walkout ratio. How good is that, you ask? Well, it's only the eighth best mark of all time. No big deal. No big deal. What he did last year, like I said, was historic. It just doesn't happen that often. He did issue 21% of his walks in a two-game stretch later in the season. He's also good at limiting home runs, 1.04 per nine innings. The bat, both his expected ERA and expected FIP were higher than his actual numbers. His strikeout rate shrunk from 24.5 and 22 to 22.7 last season. The improvement in control like that will decrease your strikeout rate usually. His barrel rate did go in the right direction, decreasing 7.5%. I think he's a weekly difference maker in ERA and definitely WHIP categories. He's in a very pitcher-friendly park on a contending team. The strikeout numbers aren't quite as elite, but I think he's still a fantasy ace. And I have him for a potential dark horse for AL Cy Young this year. 2024 projections, 32 games started, 13-10 record, 191 innings pitched with a 3.56 ERA, 112 WHIP, 169 strikeouts.
Yeah, he is there. There's a lot to love there. He's got a very solid ground ball rate. You know, you kind of worry about the strikeouts, especially where he's going at number eight. You really want to see more strikeouts and what he provides, but really sure. he derives his value from the low walk rate. His whiff rate is well below average, but his pitches have a shit ton of movement along both planes, both vertical and horizontal. Hard hit rate at 40.9% is a little bit higher than what you would expect, just given his level of control and again with the movement. And I think those are, you know, that's where he can focus to work on elevating his game a little bit further. His max EV, bottom 6%. So when he gives up hard contact, he really gives it up. You know, and both his average exit velocity and hard hit percentage are a touch high. But he's, you know, a league average guy in terms of giving up the long ball. I'm happy with him there. I think $29 is about right. I think for me, just depending on my league setup and if I'm in a points league or a categories league and what those categories are, I think the ADP may be a hair high. Low, I guess you would say. A little bit rich for my blood. We'll call it that way. But at the same time, if he gets really any growth in strikeouts, you're looking at a top five guy.
I agree.
All right. We've got somebody else now. And very similar profile to the dude we just talked about. I'm talking about Logan Webb. He was a number four starting pitcher last year, 514 points, average 15.6 a game. Right now, he's a number 17 pitcher off the board. We've got him ranked number 10. He's got an ADP of 58, and you can get him for about $24, which I think is a damn steal. He had a career high in league leading 216 innings last season across 33 starts. His record was 11-13, and we've talked about this before. Wins are incredibly hard to predict season over season. He had a more than respectable ERA at coming in at 3.25, and that was backed by a 3.16 FIP and a 2.95 XFIP. His strikeout rate was at 22.8%, averaged 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, and he paired that with an exceptional walk rate of just 3.6%. And 1.29 walks per 9. So while you're not talking about George Kirby numbers there, he more than holds his own. This is a dude that, even though he breaks one of my rules in that he has a, you know, we'll call it low-ish strikeouts, I absolutely love him this season. And when you look at just his actual total, he still had 194 strikeouts, so he can obviously get them when he needs it.
Yeah, he's definitely not like the strikeout artist of an SP1, but he's still solid.
He is. He's more of a low-end SP1, high-end SP2. I may be a little bit higher on him than most. Despite an increase in the home runs he allowed, he still had a home run rate of 2.4% and a home run per 9 of just 0.83. He has exceptional ground ball prowess, a 62.1% ground ball rate. And the fact that he does a great job at minimalizing the free passes, it really helps him kind of keep the damage under control and maintain a strong ERA. Again, going to throw that caveat out there. ERA can be very difficult to predict year over year. Across 200 innings pitched, 8 earned runs constitutes a half a run increase in your ERA. His barrel rate increased slightly to 6.9%. Exit velocity and hard hit rate are both bottom 10% of the league. So he's another dude that when he gets hit hard. But at the same time, like if you're hitting the ball hard and beating that shit into the ground, I don't care. He gets plenty of what the hell is the word I'm looking for? His chase rate. I'm sorry. or O swing percentage is at 34.6. So his stuff tempted hitters outside the zone, but his whiff rate is a no bueno 20.7%. He does have the ability to eat innings, and the fact that he makes every start gives him a really high value. He's got 30 plus starts in each of the past two seasons, and we love those innings pitched in points leagues.
Oh, yeah.
He's somebody who's definitely helped out by his home park. His knack for inducing ground balls makes him a safer bet for a lower ERA and whip, even if the strikeout rate doesn't top the charts. But those same ground ball tendencies paired with excellent command offer you a very high floor. And something you want to keep in mind with your early picks, you don't necessarily need to make a profit. Focus on returning value, and that's exactly what he will do. For this season, I think he makes another 32 starts, gives you 205 innings pitched. We'll give him a 14-10 record, an ERA back at 3.25, a 1.05 whip, and a little bit of regression in the strikeouts to 190.
Yeah, I think those projections are pretty spot on. I think you mentioned his ground ball rate. You guys have heard of chicks dig the long ball. I think his phrase would be chicks dig the ground ball. 62% of the time. That is just sick. I think you mentioned he's pretty durable. Started 30 some games the year before, 32 last year. So he's a kind of a, I think he's a set and forget guy, really. He rarely blows up, and the Giants are going to rely on him to eat innings. I think he's a great, appropriately priced, great pickup. I know he's on your fantasy team this year.
Yes, he certainly is. He certainly is.
What do we got in the comments here?
We got Loud Boy in the house. What's going on, brother? Go Blue. Appreciate you swinging through. We mentioned earlier, it may have been before you got on, we have the Fantasy Baseball League fired up. We're going to drop the link for that into the comments.
It's in there.
It's there in the chat as well.
Yep.
All right. Next up.
Yeah, you got the Logans.
I do. Logan's Akimbo.
Right.
Which Logan could it be? We talking about Logan Gilbert. He just has kind of a look on his face right there. He was a number 10 starting pitcher last year, scored 490 points, averaged 15.3 a game. This year, he is the number 25 pitcher off the board. You can get him around pick 71 or a few bucks cheaper than the two fellows we just talked about. Coming in at $21. He's another dude out there for 32 starts, had a 13-7 record across 190 and two thirds innings. That's back-to-back seasons of 32 starts. Absolutely love to see it. His ERA settled in at just about 3.75 at 3.73, and that was validated by his a FIP, a 3.85 and a 3.76 xFIP with an acceptable 8.92 K per nine, but an above average 24.5% strikeout rate. He had a nice reduction in his walk rate to 4.7% and a 1.7 walk per nine. Absolutely take that. Now on the not so great side, his home runs per nine rose to 1.37, which was a notable increase, and that contributed to his ERA spike. Despite maintaining a solid ground ball percentage, the increase in his barrel rate at 9% in hard hits tells us he may have some work to do with his command yet. And he's a young dude. You know, there's definitely room for him to improve. Hard contact is a concern. His max exit velocity is bottom 2%. His average exit velocity and hard hit percentage are both well above average. He does partially get bailed out by playing in the best pitcher's park in the game, though. And one of the concerns you've heard us talk about the delta here, he's got just a 7-mile-an-hour delta between his four-seamer and his slider, which he throws a combined 70% of the time. And now the question is, can you see the pattern in how Seattle is building their pitching staff?
Mm-hmm.
Dudes who don't walk the ball. And do you see the pattern in the pitchers that we're talking about? Dudes who limit the walks.
Yep.
And that is going to be, to me, of the three things we talk about, strikeouts, limiting home runs, and walks, limiting the walks is most important to me. Anyways,
I agree.
He's got a middle of the road whiff rate and a solid swinging strike rate. He's somebody who's shown the elite flashes. Do want to see him be more consistent from start to start. And I think that's what he needs to move himself into the, you know, we'll call it top 10 of starting pitchers. If there is regression in his walk rate, you could be looking at an ERA closer to 4.25 and a low end SP3 finish. So there is some volatility with him. On the flip side, if he can cut down on the home runs, you're looking at a high end 2, low end SP1. I think for this year, we'll give him another 32 games started, 190 innings pitched. We'll go with a 14-8 record, an ERA, a 3.5, a 1.1 whip, and 195 strikeouts.
Yeah, he, like you said, he does so many good things. And that walk rate, that 4.7%, was almost half of the average of Major League Baseball at 8.5, 8.4, right around there. So, and then his extension he's able to get with him being 6'6 and that huge frame, it makes a 95 mile an hour fastball look 2 miles an hour faster. And his off speed won't break, you know, at the same time. It's just crazy, but he does get hit pretty hard. But he's firmly in the top 25 for pitchers. Definitely could make a run for top 15 starting pitchers in fantasy this season. He's on my fantasy baseball team, this on our big keeper league.
Yes, he is.
He is great. Next up, well, dang, another pitcher that was on my fantasy baseball team last season, Framber Valdez. We have him ranked number 19 overall in our rankings on StonedOnSportsPodcast.com. He was the number 16 pitcher last season. He's averaging about the 20th pitcher off the board, an ADP of 63 and an auction value of about $21 on average. Took a step back last season, still pitched 198 innings of stellar ball, even had a no-hitter against Cleveland, I think it was. But anyway, maybe. 12 wins last season. That's three seasons in a row now with double-digit wins. Definitely pretty durable pitcher, too. Through a combined 399 and a third innings across the last two seasons. He's worked the fifth most innings the last two seasons behind Alcantara, Garrett Cole, the aforementioned Logan Webb, and Mikolas as well. So ERA, I think he was kind of lucky with that, 3.46. Expected ERA was 4.33, so just slightly lucky. But, man, does he make his living getting batters to swing balls into the fucking ground. The aforementioned Logan Webb had a higher ground ball rate than Valdez's 54.2%. That was, however, a 12% drop in 22, where he was over 66% of the time, which is sick. So fewer ground balls means more fly balls and home runs, right? So his fly ball rate correlate. It did jump to 25%, hard hit rate 37.5%. Which was 7 points higher than the previous season in 2022. Career high 200 strikeouts, right on the nose, struck out more than a batter per inning. He was one of only 17 pitchers last season that struck out 200 or more. If he could put that strikeout rate with his 2022 ground ball rate, he'd be a top five fantasy pitcher, considering the offense and the team that he has around him. I think he remains kind of a cheat code for quality starts as a category, and definitely in points leagues that awards for them. Looks like a lock to start for opening day with Verlander going to be starting on the IL. I'll say projections this year, 31 games started, 14-8. Over 196 innings pitched, 3.37 ERA, 114 whip. I don't know if we'll quite get to 200 strikeouts. I'll put him at 185.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. He's somebody, though, he is a little dependent on a well below average BABIP or batting average on balls in play. So it's something to be cognizant of, but he is very reliable source of innings and Ks. And the ground ball rate, while it's down from his career peak, it does offer a nice buffer in helping to prevent ERA fluctuations. But the dude is just a damn horse. You hit the nail on the head. 31 starts and roughly 200 innings pitched in back-to-back seasons. Even though he had the increase in hard hit rates, I'd like that he managed to maintain a healthy 224 batting average against. there is a concern with some age there. And when you see a hard hit rate and EV, you know, starting to creep up, and now you're coming into his age 30 season, you wonder when the real regression is going to start to come in. I don't necessarily think it's this season, but it's something that's kind of in the back of my mind. And you know, once we get to around pitcher 20 and we're here at ADP of 63, I'm not saying there's a bunch of dudes in the same area that I like better than him, but if I had to choose between, we'll say, Fromber and Logan Gilbert, I'm going to take Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. You know, that's why I dropped Fromber this offseason, because I had him on contract and kept Logan Gilbert. I see we got some more stuff in the chat. Oh, everybody's joined. Supersonic has joined the league, and Dubo has too. That's awesome.
Very nice.
Heck yeah. So we just need 8 more. So that'll get filled up pretty fast. We'll get some folks on there. All right. Next up, we have a guy that really played well last year. He kept doing so well, and I just go, God, is he just... When's he going to break? When's it not going to work? And it just, he did well. Justin Steele with the Chicago Cubs.
He looks angry.
Yeah, he looks mad. It's a great picture. We have him ranked at the number 27th pitcher with an ADP of 105. Auction value going about $13, which I think is about right. If he has a similar season like he did last year, I'd pay a few more dollars for that for him. He's the 39th pitcher off the board this season. Was in the Cy Young conversation last year for much of the season, finishing 5th overall. Definitely been a model of consistency over the last 2 seasons. Let's see. After working he had 24 starts in the 2022 season with that 3.18 ERA, dropped it to 3.06. That's just amazing. He's allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in 26 of his 30 starts last season. Amazing. Definitely helps for quality starts. And in 25 of his first 27, he yielded 6 earned runs twice over his final 3 starts. He went at least 6 innings in 23 of his 30 starts and at least 5 innings in 27 of 30 starts. That's awesome. He is there. He is on the mound. He is playing. He's going long into games, and he's getting wins by the 16 wins he had last year versus 5 losses. Just amazing. I loved him last year. He's got pretty good elite control. 19.1% strikeout to walk ratio that aligns with fellas like Snell, Logan Webb, Aaron Nola, all of whom are being drafted before him. He walked just 5% of the batters he faced last season, putting him in the top 7% of the league. Average strikeout rate, 24.6%. He's hovered around that 24 mark. Really, each of his 3 seasons, he's had 2 full seasons and then one earlier where he didn't play the whole season. But he gets them strikeouts by throwing a ton of first pitch strikes, 65.5% of the time, up 5.7% from 2022. Also a guy that can keep the ball in the park, 0.73 home run per 9 innings as well. What impresses me the most is it's tough for 2 pitch guys like him to be successful as a starter. Despite not having, you know, overwhelming velocity in his fastball, he's at 91.8%. It's still ranked in the top 10. He's still ranked in the top 10 of the league in fastball run values, according to StatCast. I think he provides more bang for your buck this season. I feel confident as my fantasy team's SP3, maybe low-end SP2 for sure. This season, I will project him at 30 games started. I don't think he'll have that many wins like he did last season. I'll have him at 11-9, over 177 innings pitched, 3.67 ERA, 120 whip, and 175 strikeouts.
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. We do got a question here in the comments. Do you guys think Marcus Stroman can put together a whole season this year? I really think that depends on how you want to define a whole season. going there to New York, you know, he was with the Mets before, and now he's going to be with the Yankees. Over the past few years, you know, his innings pitched have been, what do we got, 59, 124, 102, 136, 138, 179. I think if a realistic expectation would be somewhere in the 140 to 160 innings pitched range. You know, with him, you're not going to get a boatload of strikeouts, but he generally does good at limiting hard contact and keeping runners off base. He's one of those steady, if unspectacular, kind of guys. Now, sure. Last year, he was having a career year until he got hurt. And then, you know, shit tends to happen when you get hurt and you come back. I think with him, I kind of view him as like an SP5 with a little bit of upside. But that, again, that upside is limited just due to the lack of strikeouts. Depending on how I put my roster together, though, there could be a place for him on my team.
Heck yeah.
Hope that answers your question there, Mr. Not-So-Silent Majority.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, if you haven't liked or subscribed, please do. We really appreciate it. Live streams for fantasy baseball every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube.
Yeah. Justin Steele, like last year, I don't want to say it was his career year, but I don't know if he's going to get back to the level of being, you know, a low-end SP1. I think he's more of a mid rotation kind of guy. I think he can be a nice low to mid SP2. One thing that is a little bit concerning, he's got a fairly consistent BABIP of 317 over the past couple of years. And that makes me think there might be some susceptibility to fluctuations in batted ball luck. And Wrigley Field, in April and May, it plays a hell of a lot different than it does in July and August and in September. Yeah. And that's something you always need to keep in mind. I think if he can develop a third pitch, and listen, it doesn't need to be a third pitch that he throws 30% of the time, but if he can get something that he can run out there 15 to 20% of the time with a nice delta between his fastball and that, you could be looking at a dude who's a consistent top 15-ish performer. but just considering a lot of people got him off waivers last year, or if you didn't, he was essentially free in your draft. Like, you don't have much to bitch about, period.
Not so silent majority. Thanks, guys. Definitely appreciate it. Just found the channel, liked and subbed right now. Looking forward to your live streams. We really appreciate that. If you're interested in joining our podcast listener league for fantasy baseball, it's in the chat above. Just a points league on Yahoo, 12 teamer. I'm going to be drafted March 24th at 2:30 Eastern PM. More the merrier, man.
Absolutely. We'll have a little fun with it.
Yep.
All right. Next up, Cole Reagans. And this dude, holy shit, what a season he had, right? I mean, this was crazy. He ended up being the number 93 SP last year, 239.5 points, average 8.3 a game. Don't read too much into that.
Right.
This year, he's a number 37 pitcher off the board with an ADP at a nice even hundo. You can get him for $17. So he started off the year with Texas, and they essentially let him go for a song, made his way to Kansas City, and in 12 starts, he went 5-2 with a 2.64 ERA across 71 and two-thirds innings pitched, gave up 50 hits, and struck out 89. He added about 3 mile an hour to his fastball, going from 93 to 96. He also added a slider, and that gives him a nice complete five-pitch arsenal. I think his current ADP feels about right, just given there's still a lot of unknowns with him. He's a dude with an absolutely elite changeup with a 34.4% whiff rate and just a 152 average against, paired with a nice 10-mile-an-hour delta with his fastball. You know we love the deltas there. He had a 31.1% strikeout rate. That feels a little bit high to me. I wouldn't be surprised to see some regression there. And I'm not talking about a 10% drop, but maybe he ends up somewhere around, you know, 28%. His walk rate is also high at 10.5%. That's going to need some work. It did improve after he was dealt to Kansas City by about 4%. But when you're talking about going from 13% to 9%, it's, you know, we're talking about shitty and awful. He does do a good job of limiting hard contact, though. Both his average exit velocity and hard hit percentage are below league average. And there is a good amount of swing and miss in his profile. He had a 30.9% whiff rate, 32.6% chase rate, and a 14.1% swinging strike rate. Kauffman Stadium is kind of an enigma because it profiles as a hitter's park, but it suppresses home runs at the third best rate in the league over the past three seasons. So even though, you know, he will give up some hard contact, I like that suppression there, and it's going to help him out. When you look at his whip, that's really being driven by his walks. His hits per nine are at a paltry 6.6. His 96 innings pitched last season were a career high. I can't see him going much higher than maybe 140 innings, considering the Royals aren't really expected to do much this year. That said, I'm a little aggressive with my projections for this season. I think he's going to have about 25 starts across 140 innings pitched. And again, I think that's probably the ceiling for him this season. We'll call it a 10-8 record, a 3.75 ERA, a 1.16 whip. And I think across that 140 innings, he can give you about 155 strikeouts.
Yeah. I don't know what Texas was. Were they just not working with him or developing him? I don't understand. You mentioned that slider. He didn't start throwing a slider until after the trade. He didn't throw one. He didn't throw one last the 2022 as well. He just didn't have one. But he really worked at it and developed it. And somebody in Kansas City, the pitching staff, there's done him a favor. He's already, he posted what, 96.5 mile an hour speed on his four seamer fastball this year. In spring training, he touched 101 already on his four seamer. He throws that 40. Christ. He throws that 40% of the time too. So it's his pitch. The pitch that I really think that it's kind of driving him up on draft boards this season is that changeup with that 35.6 whiff rate. Just sick. But you got to balance value with excitement, right? Because I'm kind of excited about this guy, even though he is older. That current ADP you mentioned of 100 feels right, considering we're not sure what we're going to get from an entire season, because he just had that half of last season where he did pretty well. But remember, he had 12 starts, but also 17 relief outings. The split like that, those can be difficult to evaluate sometimes. Wins are going to be tough to come by, like you mentioned about Kauffman. But the Royals defense is pretty good. They ranked fourth in the league last year with 27 outs above average. So I like that. He offers definitely, I think, like a combination of safe, of ceiling and floor at that ADP of 100, if you don't need wins.
Oh, for sure. And one thing I want folks to keep in mind, it's cool to talk about 100 mile an hour fastballs, right?
Sure.
If that shit's coming in straight, any jabroni in the majors can hit it. But he has, and I had to look this up, over a foot of horizontal break.
Wow.
On his fastball, on his four seamer, which generally is not a pitch that breaks a whole hell of a lot. Typically, when you're talking about fastballs that break, it'll be a cutter or a two seamer, something like that. That's insane. So if he can harness that, we're talking about a dude here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got a few more guys to go here. Next on the docket, Merrill Kelly. He's a dude last year, number 19 starting pitcher. I don't know how in the hell he did that, and he probably doesn't either. he did manage to amass 443.5 points, good for 14.8 a game. This year, a little more realistic, number 59 pitcher off the board. Coming in just inside the top 150 at 149. And anytime you can get a, we'll call it a halfway decent pitcher for under $10, I'll take it with him. You can get him for $8. And this is a dude who spent a good amount of time pitching over in the KBO.
Yep.
He's from Arizona, went to Arizona State, grew up in Scottsdale, and now here he is pitching for the Diamondbacks. His ERA, absolutely excellent last year at 3.29, and that outperformed his FIP, his XFIP, and his XERA. He gave you 177 and two thirds innings and gave you 30 starts. Don't be surprised to see some regression in that ERA because, like I just mentioned, he outperformed quite a bit of that. Had a nice increase in his strikeout rate to 25.9%. Give you, we'll call it 9.5 strikeouts per nine. Conversely, his walk rate, rose to 9.6% and 3.5 walks per nine. So there's some control issues that were giving him trouble throughout the season. And really, when you're talking about the difference between good pitchers and elite pitchers, not only is it limiting walks and home runs, but it's that start over start consistency. His home run rate was at 2.8%, home run per nine, just a hair over one at 1.01. But there was a slight increase in his home run to fly ball ratio. And that makes me think maybe a few too many pitches found themselves in the fat part of the plate. His average exit velocity and hard hit rate were respectable. So, you know, he can induce some weak contact when he needs to, when he's on top of his game. But the elevated barrel percentage points to moments, again, when the pitches either became too predictable or they missed their spot or there's an issue with the pitch sequencing, something like that. He is somebody that can pitch deeper into games, though, and give you some good innings, and he's set up nicely for wins based on the team context. The walks themselves are concerning, and quite frankly, I don't know how much better we can realistically expect him to get, considering this is going to be his age 35 season. That said, for him to elevate the performance and turn in the results that he brings you, he needs to cut down on walks, period. You know, and we've harped on that Tuesday and a couple weeks ago when we were talking about relief pitchers, and we're going to continue to do that now. There is some nice swing and miss with him, though. He had a 27% whiff rate and a chase rate just shy of 33%. He's a solid, unspectacular mid-rotation kind of guy with a few warts, just like everybody else in this range of the draft. For this season, I think he'll give you 30 games started, 180 innings pitched. I think he can squeak out 13 wins to go 13-8. A little bit of regression in the ERA, like I was talking about before. We'll call it 3.5, but honestly, don't be surprised if it's a bit higher than that. A 1.18 whip, and I think he's good for about 180 strikeouts.
Yeah. Another guy whose changeup was pretty effective last year as well, 32% whiff rate in 23 compared to 28% in 2022. In addition, very low 234 slugging, while in 2022, pretty hefty 361 in slugging. So he's done some work with that. It's refreshing to see a guy with low velocity like that. I think he comes in at about 89.6, which is below average, especially in this flamethrower era we're in. It's encouraging to see a 34-year-old guy find untapped strikeouts this late in his career. It's fun to see. He's a stable workhorse. I think he'll provide a stable foundation there. He may not be why you win your league, but I don't think he'll be why you lose it either.
Yeah, and for all you young pitchers out there, this is something to remember. Everybody wants like the crazy slider that breaks 3.5 feet or something like that. Merrill Kelly is a testament to the fact that you can get so many guys out by just changing speed and location, working up and down, in and out, hitting your spots, being consistent.
Right. Greg Maddux has just entered the chat.
No kidding. Well, and Greg Maddux got just a shit ton of movement on his pitches. When you don't throw anything straight, makes it rough.
It does. Okay. The Biebs. Shane Bieber with Cleveland. We have him ranked as our number 39 this year. Pitcher coming off the board. He was number 75 pitcher last season. Overall, he's the number 61 pitcher off the board with an ADP of 157, going for about $9. Maybe that's right. Maybe it's a couple bucks high. But Matt said, like he said earlier, under $10 and you can get some good value, I'm good with it. Dealt with some injuries last year, especially elbow inflammation. He just was limited to 21 starts last season, went 6-6 with that 3.80 ERA, just over 100 strikeouts. Did pitch 200 plus in 2022, But this is the second time in 3 years that he's missed a large portion of the season. He won the AL Cy Young in 2020 for what that's worth. He's posted an ERA of 3.28 or better in each season from 19 to 22. Concerns, the plummeting of his strikeout rate all the way to 20.1%. That was good for 93rd among 127 pitchers who threw at least 100 innings last season. Not very good. That's his, that's a trend too, because it's his third consecutive season in declining strikeout rates from his eye popping 41% he had in 2020 to that 20.1 last season. So his fastball velocity dropped 3.5% from 92.7 in 2020 down to 89.2 last season. Some good. He's got an above average ground ball rate, 47.5%. That places him in the top 25% of pitchers last season. Boasts above average control and run prevention skills. He limits home runs pretty well as well. If his strikeouts can bounce back, I think he'd be a steal at this ADP that he's at. He's definitely not the same pitcher he was earlier in his career at all. He'll become a free agent at the end of this season. I know he was in trade rumors this offseason as well. If Cleveland is out of it at the deadline, you could see him traded for sure. So with that in mind, my projections, I have him at 26 starts, going 10-8, over 166 innings pitched, 3.79 ERA, a 1.20 whip. And I'll say he gets those Ks up to 155 with the extra innings pitched.
Yeah, I can dig that. Got not so silent majority back in the comments, spot on about Merrill Kelly. He's a pitcher. Love him cheap. Absolutely. And here's the thing, and you're going to hear this with really any fantasy league you're in. You're not going to win your league in the first 3-4 rounds of the draft. Where you're going to win your league is those dudes, especially in fantasy baseball, who you're taking in the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th round that you get for cheap. And and really give you that value. What we got here? You guys are sharp, and it might help that you're over 23 years old, barely.
Yes, just a few days older than that, actually. You're spot look, dude, on.
I'm actually 22 years old. I've just led a very, very rough life. That's why I look this way.
Right. He buys the gray for his beard. He does it. He dyes it. I'm losing my hair. You got salt and pepper. Yeah, 23, right around there. God, yeah. To do 23 years old again. Holy shit.
No kidding. All the mistakes I would enjoy making.
Around, so I'm listening, but doing some chores while I listen to the show. Hey, man, we love it. Appreciate your support.
Absolutely. So here's the thing with Shane Bieber. He is a wide range of outcomes guy. And you can say that about everyone, really. Sure. If the strikeouts come back, this guy is a damn steal at $9 in over 150 ADP. I don't necessarily know I want to spend $9 on him or take him there. We'll call it somewhere between the 13th, 15th, maybe 16th round. I think people are going to sleep on him, and he doesn't need to improve his strikeout rate by that much. Now, obviously, 7.5 per nine is not going to work.
No. It's not, but I mean, he needs to be out there.
Yeah. But I mean, if he can get it back to like 8.5, something like that, maybe if he can sneak up towards 9, I'm a buyer all day.
Same.
His walk rate is stable and he gives up less than a home run per 9. Here's the thing. His four seam fastball had an absolutely atrocious 9.3% whiff rate, while his cutter, slider, and curve were all at or over 30%.
Wow.
Like, how in the hell do less than 10% of dudes swing and miss at your fastball? And the thing is, like, he gets decent movement, but just it's not as much in years past, but it's still better than average. But just, man, they were teeing off on his ass. It's like he was just lobbing it up there like slow pitch beer league softball, hard hit and exit velocity, both bottom 3% of the league. His whiff rate has plummeted in recent years. It's down 12% over the last few years. But at the same time, like he still has above average control and he does a decent job of keeping runs off the board. And he's still just 29 years old.
Yeah. Yep. Stay healthy. You know, so, he could be a steal.
Yeah. I mean, so there's some stuff there to like, and generally as a rule, like piss on Ohio, but you know, at some point you got to separate, you know, your head and your heart, and you play fantasy baseball and you gamble with your head and just, I want to like the dude. I want to, and I want to take the chance. It's all going to come down to price.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Enough talking about that loser. Let's talk about somebody who I am very high on this year. And that's Mitch Keller of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was a number 20. Look at the look on that dude's face.
Yeah, he's like putting some energy out there. He's throwing them hard.
Yeah, he is. I love these pictures you find.
Thank you.
Number 20 starting pitcher last season, 443 points, averaged just a hair under 14 points per game at 13.8. This year, number 64 pitcher off the board. He's going an ADP of 168, seven friggin' bucks. And that to me is just ridiculous. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, my ass is not an expert. I've had some success at fantasy sports, but you know, I'm not on SiriusXM. I'm on here at, you know, YouTube for free for all of you guys. He had a career high 194 and a third innings pitch last year across 32 starts, had a K per nine approaching 10 at 9.73 and a career best 25.5% strikeout rate. Showed some improved control. His walks per nine were down to just over 2.5 and a walk rate of 6.7%, which was also a career high. Did see an increase in his home runs. He had 1.16 per nine. It could be a concern because we did see a little jump in his home run to fly ball rate up to 13.5%. And you look at his ERA and you think, damn, 4.21, just 0.01 higher than what would have been damn cool. It was a jump from the 3.91 he posted in 2022, but you look at his FIP, that was a respectable 3.8. His XFIP was a 10th lower at 3.7. It's like, all right, maybe there's something there. He's kind of been hurt by a BABIP as well. It's been well above league average each of the past three seasons, so I think there is some bad luck in there as well. His hard hit percentage and exit velocity is decreased each of the last 3 years and now are both well below league average. We did see a drop in his ground ball rate, though, and a corresponding increase to his fly ball rate, and that kind of helps to explain the increase in long balls. He had some nice gains to his chase rate, swinging strike rate, and whiff rate. He's got nice velo and movement on his four-seamer. He had a 176 average against, and in contrast to Shane Bieber, who couldn't even muster a 10% whiff rate on his four-seamer. Mitch Keller, 30.2%.
Excellent.
You know, he showed some flashes of brilliance. He still has periods where he struggles to maintain his performance level consistently, and you've heard us say it, consistency, consistency. That's going to be the key to him taking the next step. I think his fantasy value this year hinges on his ability to maintain his strikeout rate and bring that ERA down. With his current trajectory, he's a compelling mid-rotation option for your teams. He gives you a good strikeout potential. Personally, I think he's kind of a late bloomer on the verge of a breakout. For this year, I'm looking at 31 games started, 200 innings pitched. I'm going to be generous with a 14-9 record given the team. A 3.95 ERA, 1.18 WHIP, and I'm going to give him 218 strikeouts.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Good projections. He was just so great in the first half. He was 9-4, 3.31 ERA, 26.7 strikeout rate. He got his first ever All-Star selection as well, and then zoom tanked. Second half, definitely not as stellar. Went 4-5 with a 5.59 ERA, and his strikeout rate plummeted to 23.8%. I think perhaps fatigue was the problem. He had yet to reach 159 innings pitched. He pitched 117 in the first half alone, finishing with that 194 and a third. I think that was definitely a lot of it. He was one of eight pitchers last year to record at least 190 innings pitch with 200 or more strikeouts. The tools are there. There's some risk with him, but we've, you know, there's some risk of them since we only seen one dominant half of a season in his career. So him being drafted just outside of the top 40, that's probably about right. I think the risk regression's probably baked into that price, but he's somebody I'm high on as well. Okay. Next up. This will be a fun one. Eduardo Rodriguez, E-Rod, with the Diamondbacks. We have a number 50 overall pitcher. We have him ranked. He was number 33 pitcher last season. He's number 75 pitcher off the board with an ADP of 191, auction value of $6. I would probably pay that for him. Picture it. Detroit, August 1st, 2023. Tigers agree to trade E-Rod to the Dodgers for some, you know, minor leaguers or whatever it was, but he invokes his no trade clause because he doesn't want to uproot his family to the west side of the country. Look, I get it. He's an East Coaster, lives in Miami, played with Boston, played with Detroit, obviously. And then this season he opts out and signs a free agent deal with Arizona, which checks notes. It's on the west side of the country. Like, I don't get it, but all right, I'm done trashing him. he's coming off one of his best seasons statistically, that 13-9 record, over 152 and two thirds innings pitched. Those are 26 starts, set career lows in ERA at 3.30, WHIP at 115, and opponent batting average at a nice 225. He also saw a rebound in a strikeout percentage, up to 23%, up from a horrible 18.4% the year before. That puts him a strikeout to walk ratio at 15.3, up from a horrible 9.7 in 2022. Compared to prior seasons, he really used his four-seam fastball more frequently, I think at the expense of his sinker, if I recall, and he really, really committed to his changeup. His changeup, he posted a 2.33 batting average against and a 31.7% whiff rate last season. And per StatCast's run value metric, it graded out as an above average pitch for him. He's a capable pitcher, started last season very strong in six straight starts from April through the first part of May. He allowed just two earned runs on 22 hits, six walks, and 41 strikeouts over 41 and two thirds innings. Of one of those starts was against the Orioles. You remember he threw over six innings of perfect baseball before it got broken up by, if I recall, it was Mountcastle when I was watching it. But okay, now back to trashing him. while his run values on StatCast last season are excellent, his percentile rankings show a different story. He's mostly an average pitcher. In fact, he's only slightly above average in expected ERA, average exit velo, walk rate, barrel rate, and hit rate and well below average in all the other metrics. His fastball velocity did increase to 91.3, just up half a mile per hour from the year before, but slightly lower than his 2021 mark and well below, you know, what he threw 7-8 years ago, 94 miles an hour. He's not with Boston anymore. He's not going to rack up those strikeouts like he did when he was with Boston, especially in the later years there. He didn't really upgrade in terms of division either, going from, you know, the weaker AL Central to the NL West, but the environment there is undeniably better in Arizona. The Diamondbacks had the 14th best runs per game in 2023. The Tigers, 27th in the league, so not good. The price, very affordable in most drafts. Definitely a very attractive mid rotation arm this season. I will put him at 28 games started, going 12-9, 163 innings pitched with a 3.65 ERA. Yeah, that's going to creep back up, and the WHIP will creep back up a little bit too, to 1.29. I'll still give him 154 strikeouts.
Well, here in the chat, heard about the west side of the country, but Americans have lost any real geography knowledge. Not going to lie there, as a public school graduate myself.
Yeah, I think a lot of the country has lost a lot of knowledge, not just geography, but that's conversation for another day.
All right.
E-Rod. What do you think about E-Rod, man?
Look, he did a good job of keeping the ball in the park more effectively. Home run per nine was at 0.88, 2.4% home run rate, and those were one of his better marks in recent years. His strikeout rate, 23%, strikes out about 9.5 per nine. All right, like, that's not going to improve. He does better than most at limiting hard contact, though, but his rates have been increasing, as well as his launch angle. He was somebody who was helped out by the park in Detroit. There's just no denying that. Chase Field is essentially neutral. He relied on his fastball more last season than in years past, but the three pitches he utilizes most are all within like 6 to 7 miles an hour of one another, and that's kind of concerning. He does have a well below average chase rate and whiff rate, and the movement on his pitches really isn't what it once was. So he's got to rely on location and really making sure that his control is what it needs to be to limit the hard contact. And he's fine. He's all right. He's good, not great.
Yep.
But he can give you stretches of great.
Yep.
Right. You know, for 4, 5, 6 starts in a row, he can absolutely be elite. And then he's going to remember that he's Eduardo Rodriguez. And then he's not going to stink the joint up. But,
right.
You know, again, I'm not going to be high-fiving my buddies because I have him as my number 5 starter. But I'm also not going to lose sleep over it either.
Yeah. And if I recall, he had some, family/ mental health issues last season. He was gone from the team for... seemed like a while. Was it a couple months total?
He still put together what, like 25 starts or something like that. I think you're talking about a couple years ago when he just kind of dipped out.
That's right.
It was like, where the fuck did this guy go? Because he didn't even talk to us.
Yeah. I just wanted to keep trashing him because I'm still pissed that he, opted out and left anyway.
Oh.
Oh, well. What are you going to do? Right.
Send his ass to Arizona.
It's a business. I get it. You know, his situation improved out there. I think that he could definitely help, get them over the hump where they couldn't in the World Series last year. We'll see.
Yeah, and that's a young team, so they can use some veteran leadership
They definitely could.
All right. I think that is going to wrap up our starting pitcher preview. Again, this is part 2. We will drop the link to part 1 down in the description if you want to check that out if you haven't already. It's been a lot of fun. We're getting ready for the fantasy baseball season. We've got just a few short weeks to go. We are going to do our best to continue with the fantasy baseball content here over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we are a two-sport show, so we do fantasy baseball and fantasy football, and we've got free agency coming up for the NFL, so we're going to touch on that as well. Absolutely. But we're going to be right back here on Tuesday evening at 7, every Tuesday and Thursday at 7. It's a lot of fun doing this. I'm enjoying it.
It is. I like we got the not-so-silent majority in there. Good with that. I'm glad you're on board with us. I love the interaction. Love the interaction. Let's see. I feel like I subbed on the ground floor of some knowledgeable guys with a bunch of great stuff coming this year. The D-backs should be good again this year. Thanks so much, guys. We'll be on in the next the next show. Dude, appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We do spend, we're on here, 2 hours time, but you would not believe the hours and hours of research that is done behind the scenes to give you the information that you need. And, personally, I need, Matt needs, we're already researching a lot of this stuff anyway, because of our own fantasy teams and stuff. Now I'm going even deeper. I love it. I'm getting a little more nerdier on some of these stats than I ever have before in the past. I love it. But give us a like and subscribe if you haven't already. We really appreciate it. Again, join that podcast listener league we have for fantasy baseball. Draft will be on Sunday, March 24th at 2:30 Eastern. Head-to-head points league. It is just going to be we didn't want to with time and stuff. We just made it a weekly moves league. The daily moves leagues, as Matt is definitely fond of saying, is a grind. So we'll make this a little bit easier. You'll set your lineup before, the first Monday games, first pitch, and you're set for the week.
Bingo. All right, folks. that's going to wrap it up for this week. If you still want to chat, hop on into the comments. We're happy to engage with everybody. We're trying to build a community here. So until next time, folks, have a hell of a night and an even better weekend.
Later, folks.